Amen. Reach down here. Switch roles for just a moment, right, Brother Jerry? Amen. I love to sing. I don't know about you. Do I need to lower this mic, Kelvin, a little bit? I'm going to do that. Will that work? Up? How's that? All right, good deal. Amen. It's been good to sing. How can I keep from singing? When I look and I begin to ponder the grace of God in my life, I can't help but sing. I know I'm a different breed of person. I get that. But I hope that when you ponder the grace and the mercy of God, you may not verbally sing. You may not burst out into song audibly. But I hope and I pray that within the depths of your heart, that joy of being a child of God, the joy of experiencing the wonder of being in a relationship with the Creator of the universe, causes that joy to just well up inside of you, and within the depths of your heart, you sing as well. What a powerful song, O Church of Rise. This is what we need to do, especially in this day an age where the culture is so contrary to what the Word of God says, and our society is really pushing back against the church. This is not a time for the church to be pressed down. It is a time for the church to arise and to begin once again. I believe, I think for far too long, we have not been proclaiming the truth as we should. And it's time for the church to arise and to begin once again to proclaim the truth, the wonders of the Word of God. All right, that was extra this morning. That is not where I'm going with the sermon. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 130. Psalm chapter 130. We're going to just camp out in this psalm this morning. This is a psalm that in the middle of the week, God just really, I'd say in the middle, beginning of the week, He gripped my heart. And I was going back and forth, God, What kind of word do you want me to bring this morning to not only those that are here with us, that are worshiping with us today, but those that are worshiping online? And I feel like this psalm may be for somebody in here or somebody online. This psalm may be for you today, because this psalm begins with out of the depths, out of the depths. And I've entitled this sermon this morning, When You Hit Rock Bottom. When you hit rock bottom, and there's probably many of you this morning that would attest, there's been times in your life where you feel like you're at rock bottom. So what do you do when you're at rock bottom? I remember two experiences when I was in college two separate experiences where I was at rock bottom. One of which was in regards to a betrayal from a friend. And I don't know if you've ever been betrayed by a friend, but especially somebody you trust, especially somebody that you've shared a lot of your life with. And when they do something in order to betray your trust, right, you just feel like you're at rock bottom. You don't know what to do. And I remember vividly in that moment, I didn't know what to do. All I knew is that I needed to raise my voice to God. And I remember being over at the BSU building with my friend Toby Neighbors. And I remember opening up a hymnal and just going through it and starting just to sing. Because I didn't know what else to do. And in those moments, as I sang these wonderful hymns, such as I Need Thee Every Hour, Most Gracious Lord, No Tender Voice Like Thine Can Peace Afford. I need thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Right? I remember raising those hymns to the Lord. And in those moments when I sang, the strength that came in, not because I was able to muster it up on my own, but because I cried out to the one who could help. That when I was in the depths, I raised my voice to God and He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I remember another such incident. It didn't have to do with a betrayal, but honestly, it had to do with sin in my life. Again, there was a moment where I had a habit at times, Pastor Chris, when I was at the BSU, now BCM. We knew it as Baptist Student Union at one time. It's now Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And by the way, continue to pray for our Baptist Collegiate Ministries around the state. It's a different age. They have to think creatively in how they're going to reach students on campus with COVID. But continue to pray for them. But I was a part of the leadership, and for some reason, they gave me a key to the building. One of it was because we had a prayer meeting early in the morning, and nobody else wanted to open up that early, so I was there. So I had a habit of going to the BSU building at times when I would get off work. In the evenings, nobody was there. I would open it up. I would play music, and I would sing, and I would just have a personal worship time. And I remember going over there one evening, and I parked my truck there in the parking lot, and I started walking out or toward the building. And a thought came to my mind that maybe God was in there waiting for me. And in that moment, I want to tell you that the reality of my sin overwhelmed me. And I want to tell you what I did. I started walking back toward my vehicle, and I got in it, and I started driving out of the parking lot, and I stopped at the end, and I said, "What am I doing? I'm running away from the only one who could deal with the sin in my life. I'm running away from the one that wants to forgive me, the one that wants to really take all that mess that's in my life and make it into something beautiful. And why would I run away from him?" And so I slowly drove back and parked, and I slowly walked to the door. And let me tell you something. In that moment, I cried out to God, and that sin that was within me, he forgave it. He cleansed me. You know, we have to believe what the Scripture says, that in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let me tell you, that was one of the most beautiful worship moments that I've ever had in my life, and I still remember it distinctly. And I want to tell you this morning, when you hit rock bottom, whether it's because of some sort of life circumstance, whether it's betrayal or whether it's maybe you experienced a loss in your life, you can raise your voice to God because He is the one who wants to help. When you are experienced at a time where you are away from God, you can turn to Him and raise your voice to God, and He is ready to forgive. When you hit rock bottom, what do you do? That's the question.
I'm going to switch mics. Is that okay this morning? Amen. Now I have to learn how to not speak so much with my hands. Is that correct, Pastor Chris? Wow. All right. But what do you do? What do you do when you hit rock bottom? So I want to share with you today some of the thoughts that I had when I was walking through this passage of Scripture. If you're willing, would you please stand as in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? I'm reading from Psalm chapter 130 from Christian Standard Version. If you're watching online, the verses will be on the screen. The psalmist says, "Out of the depths I call to you, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for help. Lord, if you kept an account of iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. I wait and I put my hope in his word. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning." Israel, let me pause for just a moment. Put your name in there. Personalize this psalm this morning. Jonathan, put your hope in the Lord. For there is faithful love with the Lord, and with him is redemption. Now listen to this, in abundance. And he will redeem Jonathan from all his iniquities. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful that when we hit rock bottom, that there is no better place to turn. In fact, there is only one place to turn, and that's to you. And I pray that if there's anyone here today or watching online and they feel like they have hit rock bottom, that, God, the truth of your word would speak into their lives. And they would be overwhelmed by your love for them. And in turn, Father, they would raise their voice to you, knowing that you will be their help in their time of trouble. Father, I pray that you'd come and meet with us today. I pray that all the words that come from my mouth today would come from you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I thought about this psalm, especially when it comes to repentance. It's a really good reminder for us. But even past that, the principles that we find in here are for those of us, maybe you're not dealing with sin this morning. Maybe you are dealing with a loss, or like I said, a betrayal or something else in your life where it has made you feel like you've hit rock bottom. I think these principles are really important for us, because a lot of times what we do in our lives, when we experience trials, when we experience trouble, I don't know about you, but I'll speak for myself. My first inclination is to go elsewhere. It's to rely upon my ability to get out of the mess that I'm in, my ability to muster up the strength in order to get back to a place where I feel like my feet are on firm ground. But the reality of it is that God wants to come into those moments, and he wants to infuse our lives with strength so that we can actually climb out and walk on firm ground. And let me tell you something. I've always noticed that when I try to climb out of the pit that I am in, the ground that I find myself on when I think I am out is a ground that is laid by my own invention. And let me tell you something. It is not firm ground. If we will allow God in those moments to come in and to lift us up from that bottom, that rock bottom, he will set our footprint or our footsteps on something that is firm, and that is in him, and not on not on yourself or anyone else. So the main idea that I see here in this passage today is that God rewards those who call on him. God rewards those who call on him. And I will unpack that a little bit more as we walk through this passage of Scripture. But the key question this morning is, what restrains you from calling on him? What keeps you from calling on him? What holds you back? What restrains you? And I'll be honest with you, this is confession. I joke with my students a lot on Wednesday night that when I'm speaking, that I'm I'm confessing now, Ray. I do a lot. You've heard me. You've been up there the past two Wednesday nights, and thank the Lord we're up there again. I've missed it so much, and we've had that opportunity, and we've been talking about prayer a lot the past couple of weeks, and we'll continue to do that. But this past week, we talked about confession. And so I tend to confess some things when I'm in front of them, and I don't do that necessarily so that they can see how bad of a person I am. We've got to understand that we're all on the same playing field when it comes to our relationship with God. I'm no more special than you are just because God has called me to this church and has placed me in a position of leadership on staff here. I still need to confess my sins. I still need to look at my life and examine my life and understand that I still need God. So as we look at this, I tell them a lot, you know, what restrains me is my pride. What keeps me from calling out to God in those moments is because I think I can get myself out of it. I think that I can be good enough to make up for the wrong that I've done. But that's not what God says. And thank goodness. And thank goodness, because I don't know about you, but what I have experienced in my life is that I can never do enough to make up for the wrong that I've done. It is never enough. It might make the situation better for a moment, maybe two. But eventually, it comes back around, I'm in the same mess, or I'm deeper I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life, where you find yourself deeper. And let me tell you, the more that we try to get up out of our own, the deeper that we go. There's times, and I know y'all can't believe this, but I put my foot in my mouth, or right? I say something that I shouldn't say. And then I have to, well, you know, I didn't really mean it like that. And then I try to say something to make up for it, Pastor Chris. And some people, I don't think Pastor Chris has done this to me, but they kind of motion to me. They do this thing. Anybody done that to you? You know what I'm saying? Meaning that you're digging deeper. You're not helping yourself at all. Has anybody been there? All right. You know what I'm talking about. So why not? Why not just confess? Why not just say, okay, I messed up? Especially in our relationship with God. So what restrains you this morning? I want to give you four realities this morning from this passage of Scripture. Four realities of rock bottom roars. And I like ours this morning. I hope you've noticed that. And the reason why I say a roar is because when you hit rock bottom, I don't know about you, but when I hit rock bottom and I finally lift my voice to God, it's not like this. God, would you please help? Anybody like that? You just go, God, would you please? No. It's a yelp out to God, right? God, help me. Because I have created a mess, or I am in a mess, and I need you. I need you more than anything else. It's not a whisper. It is a roar out to God. And I think that's what we see here in this passage of Scripture. So let's look at this. The first reality, desperate crying reaches merciful ears. Desperate crying reaches merciful ears. This is such a wonderful truth for us this morning, that just the fact that when we are at rock bottom and we do lift our voice to God, that He hears us. The Scripture over and over again confirms this truth, supports this truth. One such occasion, well, let's go back to the passage of Scripture real quick. Out of the depths I call to you, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears be attentive for my cry for help. Let your ears be attentive. And this is the reason why the psalmist can say this is because the psalmist knows that God will listen in those moments. Isn't that a great comfort to you this morning? That God listens. God knows what is going on in your life. God knows what is going on in your mind. God knows it so well that He knows how to help. And not only that, even though God knows, He still cares and He still loves you. He still cares and He still loves you, even though you might have made a huge mess of your life. And He says, call out to me anyway. One such occasion we find in Exodus chapter 2. Now, this wasn't necessarily the Israelites' own doing, but it was. It just so happened when Jacob's family moved themselves to Egypt, that Egypt became a place of slavery for the Israelites. Now, listen to what Scripture says here. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor. Do you think they're at rock bottom right now? The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor. They cried out, and their cry for help because of the difficult labor ascended to God. Now listen to this. God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now listen to this. God saw the Israelites, and God knew. When we lift our voices up to God, we can rest assured that God sees us and He knows. And He knows how to help. And you know what? He knew how to help in this situation. And He raised up Moses, didn't He? To lead the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the promised land. And let me tell you something. God knows what it will take in your life to bring you out of the place you're in to lead you to the promised land. And that promised land is his presence where there is joy that abounds. And his presence where peace resides, a peace that is unspeakable. Pastor Chris has been talking about this here at the end of Philippians chapter, or at the end of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, right? Let your request be made known to God. He knows, he sees your situation. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 6. He says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his trouble." This poor man cried, and God heard him and saved him from all his troubles. Are you in a place this morning where of trouble? Cry out to God. Admit, God, I'm a poor individual, and I need help. God hears, and he will save you. Listen what the psalmist also says in Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3. "I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that is high above me, for you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy." Are you experiencing an adverse situation this morning? Are you experiencing something that is overwhelming you this morning? Know that when you call out to God, he is a strong tower, and he will give you strength to make it through. He won't necessarily lift us up out of our trouble to make everything better and then take us over, but his presence will go with us through it. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes he does. Sometimes he takes us completely out of it, but I'm going to tell you, most of the time he walks with us through it, because that is when we learn dependence upon him, and that is when we learn in the future to call out to him even sooner than we did that time. Does that make sense? What restrains you this morning from calling out to God? Know that your desperate crying reaches merciful ears. There's a hymn that we sing from time to time, and y'all, I've already sang some, so I'm going to try to restrain from singing more, because there's more singing to come, right? "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No one else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us." Isn't that a wonderful thing when we hit rock bottom and we lift our voice to him, our friend that is like no other, and in those moments he can cheer our hearts with his love. I'm going to tell you that when I was in college and I experienced that very serious betrayal in my life, when I lifted my voice to God, his love cheered my heart. His love was what helped me make it through. So the songwriter goes on to say, "Did ever saint find this friend forsake him?" Will God ever forsake you? He says in his word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Or sinner find that he would not take him? There is never a sinner who has sinned so much that God, when he won't take him, when that sinner raises his voice to God, there's no one so bad that God won't listen to that person's cry of repentance and confession. Amen? Aren't you glad? Because I'll be honest with you, if there was a sinner, if there was an individual that was so bad that God wouldn't listen to his cry of confession and repentance, then maybe he didn't listen to mine when I was almost 8 years old. That's the reality of it. How far do we go down the road until we say that someone is bad enough for God to not hear them? And then last, was error a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Isn't that a wonderful truth this morning? All right, we've got to hurry, don't we, Pastor Chris? I'm just on two, and we've got four points this morning. I said four realities. So second reality this morning is gracious accounting renders forgiven lives. Gracious accounting. For those of you who are business majors this morning, you would like the wording that you see here in this psalm. Lord, if you kept an account of our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. Scripture tells us that because of God's grace, we are saved. Scripture tells us that because of God's grace, that when we go and we confess that His grace comes over our lives, His mercy comes in, and our sins are forgiven, and our iniquities, our sins, are not held to our account. Amen? We have a clean slate. I quoted that verse earlier, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guess what? He keeps no record of wrongs. That's what Scripture tells us in Isaiah 43:25. I am the one. I sweep away your transgressions for not your sake, listen to this, for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. Now, let me enlighten you. Well, I don't know. I want to say enlighten you. Let me remind you this morning that God forgives not necessarily for your sake, but for His own sake, because He says, I am the great Redeemer. And if He is the great Redeemer, He will keep His promise in His word that He will forgive you of your sins if you would but call out on Him. When you hit rock bottom because of a sin or sins in your life and you raise your voice to Him in repentance, guess what He's going to do? He's going to forgive you. Amen. Listen to what Isaiah also says in chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked one abandon his way, and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, so that he may have compassion on him and to our God. Get this, for God will freely forgive. God doesn't put a condition on it, does He? He doesn't say, Jonathan, because you did this, then you need to do this, and then I'll listen to your voice. Then I'll listen to your cry of repentance. Then I will listen to your confession. No, He says, come to me and confess. We talked on Wednesday night briefly about the prodigal son. Think about the prodigal son for a moment. The young man who couldn't wait for his son, for his father to die, and he said, give me my money now. And I told him, hey, you know, it's J.G. Wentworth, right? It's my money and I want it now. Anybody? All right. You know what I'm talking about. But that, you know, you thought that was a new concept, right? It's there in Scripture. Jesus said in Luke, right? It's my money and I want it now. So he got his money, he went away, and he squandered it on all sort of just sinful living. And he got to the point where he was at rock bottom. This is a good rock bottom story, right? A rock bottom story where the young man was slopping the hogs, and he looks at the food that he was giving these animals, and his stomach was so empty because he hadn't had anything to eat. He was even desiring what he was slopping the hogs with. And we're not privy to at what point that the young man came to his senses. It just says he came to his senses and he realized that his father's servants ate better than him. But maybe he actually had his hand in that slop and he was looking at it and he was staring at it. And then he had one of those aha moments. He was at rock bottom and he said, oh, maybe it was because he remembered that quite possibly his father might forgive him. So he made his journey back to the house, and we don't find the father, and I told the students this Wednesday night, we don't find the father back in the house in some deep recess of the house waiting for that son to come home because he knew he would run out of money sometime because he knew that he was out there living a sinful life and wasting his inheritance. He wasn't in some deep recess of the house waiting for that son to come home and tell him what everything that happened so that the father can say, you know, I knew you would come back. Well, get this. You need to do this, this, and this before you come back in this household. That's not how the story went, right? Thank God that the father who is represented by God in this moment. You get this picture that the Father is looking down the roadway each and every day for his son that went away because he felt like any day now his son was coming home. And then when he saw the silhouette of his son coming in the distance, he ran toward him. And before the son could get his full confession out, this is the beauty of it. Before he can get his full confession out, the father, he basically in his actions, he says, I forgive you. And let me tell you something. When you hit rock bottom and there's sin in your life and you go to God, repent and confess, before you can get your full confession out, God says, I forgive you. Whew, I'm getting a little excited this morning. We may go to 1 o'clock. Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you, forgiving iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love. Whew. He delights in faithful love. I hope you understand that this morning, and I hope you've heard me. If you haven't heard me earlier, hear me now. God loves you. And God wants to forgive you. His gracious accounting wants to render you forgiven this morning. So what restrains you? What holds you back from lifting your voice to him this morning? There's no strings attached. Quite honestly, in my life, the string that I hold on to is the string of my pride. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount, outpoured there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. All who are longing to see his face, will you this moment cry out to God because you're at rock bottom and you don't know what else to do? Will you this moment lift your voice to him and then grace receive this marvelous, marvelous grace, this infinite grace, this grace that will pardon and cleanse within, this marvelous, infinite grace, this grace that is greater than all our sin. If that wasn't enough, Al Ray, I have two more. The third reality here, expectant watching rests on faithful promises. I've already kind of alluded to this morning. Expectant watching. Listen to what the psalmist says. I wait for the Lord. I wait and I put my hope in his word. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. Know that when you watch and you wait for the Lord in those moments when you cry out to him, when you hit rock bottom, you can rest on his faithful promises in his word. Listen to what he said. I put my hope where? In his word. I put my hope in the promises of God. I put my hope in the fact that God has told me over and over in his word that he will be my ever-present help in the time of trouble. I put my hope in his word that he says that he will cleanse me and forgive me of all unrighteousness and give me a clean slate of my life, and he will pick me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. Listen to what the psalmist says here in Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on the rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will put their trust in the Lord. This is such a beautiful thing because our expectant watching rests on the faithful promises of God in our lives. People begin to wonder, how in the world do you have such a rock hard faith in your life? It's because we trust in a God who's not a liar. We trust in a God who has promised things over and over in his word, and he's kept those promises, and there's promises that he intends to fulfill. So why not expectantly watch and wait for him? Let's just see what he's going to do. Let's just see that when we hit rock bottom and we cry out to him in our trouble and in our sin, let's just see all that God will do, because when he is on display in our lives, his glory will be on display in our lives in those moments, because he is the one who is lifting us up, not me that's trying to get out of that pit. He's lifting us up, and people around are watching too. And they might just say, I want to know that same God. I remember being in the BSU and singing those hymns, and Toby Neighbors was there with me, and he said, I remember, how are you doing this? And I said, it's not me. I'm doing this because I'm seeing the truth of God's word. And that's where I place my hope. I can't get out of this, but God can help me through it. Isaiah chapter 25, 9 says, on that day it will be said, look, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let's rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Isaiah 33, 2 says this, Lord, be gracious to us. We wait for you. Be our strength every morning and our salvation in time of trouble. God wants to be your salvation in your time of trouble. Whether it's because you are experiencing loss, whether it's because you are experiencing betrayal, whether it's because you have made a mess by living in sin, guess what? He wants to be your help in that time of trouble. He wants to be your salvation. So why not cry out to him? What restrains you this morning? What holds you back this morning? There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. In all of life's ebb and flow, every part of your life, he says, I am with thee, peace, be still. And that's why we can expectantly watch and rest on his faithful promises. It says, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. He keeps me singing as I go. The last reality this morning that I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture, and this has to do with God again, his faithful loving redeems wayward sinners. And you might be saying, Jonathan, isn't that kind of like the second reality? And I would say yes, but it goes further, doesn't it? Because not only are we forgiven, but God redeems us. He buys us back. I love that imagery, that redeeming factor. It is a buying back and not just leaving us. I mean, he forgives us in that moment, but he takes us out of that situation, or he takes us through that situation, and he puts our feet on the rock. And in those moments, it's a better place than we were before. Does that make sense? God could forgive us. God could in that moment leave us, not necessarily in our sin, but he could say, okay, now, let's see what you can do. Now, he doesn't do that. He redeems us. It says abundance in abundance. I hope you see the difference this morning. God not only wants to forgive you, but he wants to empower you to be able to live the life that he is calling you to live. Listen what the psalmist says here. Israel, I said earlier, put your name in here. Jonathan, put your hope in the Lord, for there is faithful love with the Lord, and with him is redemption in abundance. And he will redeem Jonathan from all his iniquities. He will redeem you today. He will redeem you from that place that you find yourself, that rock bottom place. And he will lift you to a place as a higher plane. That's a hymn we sing sometimes too, on higher ground. Listen to what Isaiah says in 43:1. Now, this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, let me, that abundance that we're talking about, when God redeems us in abundance, I will say this, when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I was almost 8 years old, I know I not only was forgiven, but I was branded a child of God. Amen? That's what we're talking about in being redeemed in abundance. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child in the household of the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. Listen to that. That he richly, the riches of his grace, this abundance of redemption that's within our lives. This abundance of redemption is what causes us to sing. This abundance of redemption is what keeps us singing in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of that moment where we feel like we're at rock bottom. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Now listen to this. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. The most precious thing in all of the universe that was shed on the cross was the blood of Jesus. And that blood covers us in those moments. That blood is what Scripture says, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That means that there's no hope of redemption if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross for us. This truth that we find here in Psalm 130 about the psalmist in the depths of his life, calling out to God to redeem him, to forgive him, this truth would not be available to us if it weren't for the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Amen? That is why I stand here today. That is why I can tell you that in my life, when I have hit rock bottom and I finally raise my voice to God, that he hears my voice and he comes in and he lifts me up out of the pit. Whatever pit it is in, if it's because of a loss, if it's because of a betrayal, if it's because of the sin that I have willingly committed, the sin that so easily besets me in those moments, he lifts me up out of it because His grace, that it doesn't hold an account. He forgives me completely. And I sit there and I wait. And I watch. And I praise God for what he's going to do. Because I know that his redeeming love is going to come in. And something greater is going to happen in my life because of Christ. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guarded my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. What restrains you this morning? We're calling out to him. What restrains you from calling out to such a good God, to such a loving Father who rewards those who call on him? I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you would say, Jonathan, I am at rock bottom. I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God to lift your voice to him. Because out of the depths, when you cry, he listens. If it's because of a loss in your life, cry out to Him. He wants to be your peace in this moment. He wants to give you strength. If it's because of betrayal like what I experienced in life, call out to Him. And He'll help you know how to move forward in that moment. If it's because of sin in your life, please, by all means, cry out to Him. Don't remain in your sin any longer. Because He abundantly redeems. He graciously forgives you. Maybe this morning, for the very first time, you understand your lostness. Maybe you have never called out to God. Maybe you've been at rock bottom for a very long time in your sin. Call out to Him this morning. Don't allow your pride to restrain you this morning. Won't you call out? I want to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We're going to have a time of response. I feel that when you have a passage of Scripture like this that encourages you to call out to God in your time of trouble, we can't help but have a time of response. Maybe today, for those of you who are here, you would say, I'm at rock bottom. I want to just give you an opportunity to come to the altar. And out of the depths of your situation, would you cry out to Him, knowing that He will hear your voice? If you are lost without Jesus in your life this morning, whether here or online, would you call out to Him? He is ready to forgive. He sent His one and only Son to die for you on the cross. And as we said earlier, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus' blood can wash over your life and cleanse you and make you whole. And you can today become a child of God. Lift your voice to Him this morning, whether you're here or online. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And that is such an incredible truth and reality this morning. If you'll but do that, call out to Him.